Use your mobile phone to get 7 minutes of nonstop news from the Las Vegas Review-Journal. 7 at 7, weekdays at 7 a.m. and 7 p.m. You're listening to Vegas Nation. It's time for First and 10 with your host, Vinny Bonsignor and Sam Gordon.
What's good, Raider Nation? Welcome back to Vegas Nation. First and 10, your today, Friday, go-to for Raider news and analysis. We had to do a bonus episode because there's so much going on, obviously, and it continues. So when we reconvene on Monday of next week, we'll have even more to talk about. But bring on my great co-host, Sam Gordon, just want to let you know that today's episode is brought to you by the Las Vegas Review Journal and presented by Blue Wire. Sam, how are you doing, my brother?
Vinny, doing good, man. A lot of wheeling and dealing this week, huh?
Yeah, no doubt. Been burning the midnight oil, which is all good. That's what we're doing. That's what we do. So let's get right to it. I like what the Raiders have done on the defensive line. I love the Kenyon Drake signing. And I think that the new wide receiver from Buffalo fits right in. Obviously the offensive line needs to they still have some work to do on the offensive line. There's plenty of time to get that done. But I like what they've done so far. There's still need at safety. There's still need at cornerback depth. But plenty of time to get that done. And I know in talking to some people that they're deep in on some guys at both of those positions. But your initial reaction to what they've done so far?
Initial reaction, Vinny, is, well, the move that jumped out to me is Yannick Ngakoue, right? I mean, we knew going into free agency that the Raiders needed to address the pass rush somehow. They needed to do something that would help them get after the quarterback. And lo and behold, right away, I mean, their first real big move is going out there and getting one of the premier pass rushers that was available on the free agent market, right? When you take a look at Yannick Ngakoue, in five full seasons, he's never recorded fewer than 8 sacks. He forces fumbles. He's a pass rushing specialist. He knows how to get after the quarterback. It's what he's done in Jacksonville. It's what he's done in Minnesota. It's what he's done in Baltimore. And it's what I expect him to do in Las Vegas, right? I mean, that to me is the kind of the slam dunk, the home run that John Gruden and Mike Mayock and company had hit in this free agency cycle thus far. Would you agree?
Yeah, no question. And the wide receiver for Buffalo, just to get that out there, John Brown. I want to diss John Brown. I was having a brain freeze right there. But we'll get to John Brown. We'll get to Kenyon Drake. Yannick Ngakoue, the defensive line. And it's not just Ngakoue, even though I think that that's a huge signing. And it allows the Raiders to lengthen their defensive line. Now you have Max Crosby most likely coming off the bench, playing a lot. I mean, I think people get all freaked out. You know, when you say that, he's not replacing, Yannick's not replacing Max Crosby. Max Crosby is going to be a huge part of this operation, but it's going to be in a just a different role. And that's fine. If you're having Max Crosby coming off the bench, that means you have the makings of a pretty good defensive line. But in addition to Ngakoue, I think the Raiders came up with another starter in Quentin Jefferson. There's still some upside with Solomon Thomas, the third pick overall in the 2017 draft. Sam, I broke down his tape. These last couple of days, and I'm shocked that this guy hasn't translated into the NFL. There's some plays that this dude makes. He's got an athletic ability that just jumps off the screen. I don't know why he hasn't put it together. It could have been the way he was utilized in San Francisco, but whatever the case, you look at the athletic ability, the quickness, the strength. He's got a lot to work with, and still at 25 years old, there is upside.
Yeah, absolutely, Vinny. And you talk about, he wasn't, maybe he didn't have the big time production that you thought, but let's be clear. He was still a rotational piece on one of the better defenses in the NFL, especially in that 2019 season. I mean, he played on a Super Bowl caliber kind of defense. So like you said, being that he's only 25 years old, I think it's a nice kind of situation for him where he can, try and reboot and kind of discover who he is as a player. He's still, like you said, only 25, doesn't turn 26 until August. So there is upside. And when you get a guy who, I mean, there's a reason he went in the top five of the draft, right? It's because he has talent. It's because of the ability that he showed during his tenure at Stanford. It's because he has the skills, the requisite ability to be a difference maker in the NFL. And of course, it just hasn't happened yet, but it's, it feels like to me like this is one of these low risk kind of high reward kind of moves, and it, it definitely helps out round out some of that depth that they're trying to build on the defensive line.
And that's what they're trying to do. You know, talking to some folks, they understand over at that building in Henderson, the defensive line last year was unacceptable, and I've heard, that's literally the word that I've heard. And so how do you rectify that? Well, obviously you bring in more talent, you bring in more in numbers players that can play. And so when you add Yannick Ngakoue and Solomon Thomas and Quentin Jefferson, you bring back Jonathan Hankins. You know, we'll see what happens with Carl Nassib. But I think now, you know, between, you know, a guy like that and a guy like Solomon Thomas, who now the weight of the world isn't on Solomon Thomas's shoulders anymore, in terms of living up to the hype of being the third pick overall. And then I think Carl Nassib, you know, who you know, got a quote unquote big contract. It wasn't that big, but regardless, you know, living up to those expectations now, I think becomes a little bit easier. Now you just go compete, you know, again, the weight of the world isn't on your shoulders. Go out there and play, but compete. And I think that, you know, when you start talking about all those names, you still have David Irving, you still have Arden Key. There's going to be a fierce competition along that defensive line, and that always brings out the best in people.
Yeah, I think so too, Vinny. And it's just like you said, I think not only does it take pressure off guys from an individual perspective, but it takes pressure off that unit as a whole. Now knowing that they're 4, 5, 6 deep, you know, at defensive end, and they have a steady rotation of defensive tackles. You mentioned, you know, they bring Jonathan Hankins back. You have Maurice Hurst, who I believe was ascending last year, one of the players on that defense that was ascending. So you look at the totality of that defensive line, and just with all the moves they've made, there's no way. I mean, there's just no chance it's as bad as last season. I mean, it's this. You can already tangibly say that this unit is going to be better in 2021, and that even though that they haven't necessarily addressed some of the moves on, or you know, some of the needs they've had on the back end, by virtue of having a better defensive front, a better pass rush, a better defensive line, that's going to make the linebackers better, and it automatically makes your secondary better without you necessarily even making a move yet. So that's step one, is building a foundation on that line. I think that is that they're off to a strong start there, and it puts them in position to kind of build out the rest of this defense moving forward, you know, whether it's in the rest of free agency or in the draft with input from Gus Bradley and Mike Mayock and John Gruden.
Yeah, and you know, I think that the aside from the draft, and you know, they could pull some surprises on that defensive line, but I think for right now, I think they're good with the defensive line. Ngakoue, you know, that's a big signing. Like if you would have told, if you would have brought in Ngakoue last year during, you know, when there was speculation that you know, he was going to be traded, people would have been doing backflips at that point. Well, now he's here, and just for money, no draft picks. And, you know, so that's a big signing in addition to everything else that they brought in the defensive line. We all know Gus Bradley's defense is predicated on getting pressure up front with your four rushers, pass rushers. It can come in all kinds of different formations, you know, alignments and bodies, but four guys drop back, seven guys. They brought back Nicholas Morrow. I thought that was a good move. He's an ascending player. So the linebacker crew, the starting linebacker crew, looks fairly set. You know, you have to assume that Corey Littleton is going to get back on track. Nick Kwiatkowski had a solid year. Don't expect any major step backs from him, maybe even a step forward. Nicholas Morrow's alongside them. So your three linebackers are set. Now you move to the secondary, and I guess what my point is, they're narrowing the list of things to do. And from my
checking
perspective,
off boxes.
Yeah, free safety, and we'll see what they do at slot cornerback or you know, that fourth cornerback to replace a Nevin Lawson. But all of a sudden, you start looking at that defense, and it's not Swiss cheese at all. It's just a couple of positions now that they have to address, and there's plenty of time to do that.
Yeah, definitely agree with you there. And, you know, whether that's, again, with free agency, with the draft, there are multiple means of improving this unit. And let's not forget, Vinny, I mean, yeah, we have the moves in free agency that have been made, but there's, like we've touched on before, you're also expecting growth and development from a number of young players that are on this defense that are just coming off their first or second season. So having more veterans now, having more veteran presence on that defensive line, having guys that are experienced, I think it's going to just bode well for the defense as a whole. And like you said, now it's about kind of just plugging in a couple holes as opposed to plugging, you know, filling a bunch of them like they had to do before free agency started. So it's the defense rebuilding this defense. They're off to a good start, and now it's just kind of about refining everything. Shifting gears, I want to ask you about this, right? Offensive line, what's going on? Like, a lot of changes. What is happening?
Well, when you look at the offensive line, you know, where we sit today, they have to replace their right tackle now. I think that they feel good about Andre James, the young center that's going to replace Rodney Hudson. They doubled down and created some insurance by signing Nick Martin yesterday. Nick Martin, you know, under the radar signing, but this is a guy who has 67 starts in his career. So you have some options at center. I think at guard, you know, as of right now, you know, Richie Incognito and Denzel Good, I would suspect are going to be the starting guards. Of course, that's dependent on what happens at right tackle. I have a feeling the Raiders are now going to shift focus in right tackle over to the draft. I wouldn't be surprised if they did bring a veteran there. There's still players out on the open market, but it's not as drastic as I think people are making it out to be. You know, when you get rid of Rodney Hudson and you get rid of Gabe Jackson, that was a lot of money that was tied up to two players that are, you know, on that other side of 30. And I'll share this with you. You know, a few years ago when I was covering the Rams, there's two stories. The Rams had a linebacker by the name of Alec Ogletree. He was a tackling machine, right? And they had just re-signed him. That's the guy who was coming off, I think, like three straight years of 90 tackles, maybe even 100 tackles. And they had just re-signed him to a nice deal. And they decide, you know what, we're gonna move the money around a little bit. We're gonna trade Alec Ogletree. And Joe Barry, their linebacker coach, told me about this call that he gets from Sean McVay. And Sean McVay says, hey, Joe, you know, man, hate to tell you this, but we're going to trade one of your best linebackers, Alec Ogletree. But I need assurances, you know, that we're going to be able to be covered, with somebody on the roster. And Joe told me, he goes, I told Sean, dude, don't even worry about it. We got a guy by the name of Corey Littleton. He's going to be fine. I promise you he's going to be fine. And lo and behold, nobody ever missed Alec Ogletree. Nothing against Alec Ogletree, but Corey Littleton, who was developing behind the scenes, was checking off all the boxes to the coach that knows what he's looking for in Joe Barry, and the rest is history. Same thing happened with John Johnson three games into his rookie year. This is a guy who hadn't even played in training camp or preseason because of a calf injury his rookie year. And two games into the season, the Rams and cut their starting safety, one of their starting safeties. And we're all in the media, and I'm sure fans were like, what? You know, what are they doing? And Wade Phillips is like, don't worry about it. You know, we got a guy by the name of John Johnson. He didn't even play. He's fine. He's going to be great. And lo and behold, John Johnson, a third-round pick rookie, just has a fabulous rookie year. And the rest is history for him, too, now in Cleveland making a lot of money. My point is this. A guy like Andre James, all right, yeah. Tom Cable, the offensive line coach, he knows what he's looking for. He knows what he needs. He's been there before. If he feels that Andre James, if he could tell, you know, John Gruden, hey, look, we're going to be fine. If we have to trade Rodney Hudson, no doubt it's a loss, but we feel like we have a guy behind him that's ready to go. Yeah, you know, you almost have to give that benefit of the doubt to the coach who's working with the guy every day. Just because we don't see him and the fans don't see him behind the scenes doesn't mean he's not a capable player. So that's what I'm just trying to point out. Like, you know, the freak out factor when you move on from a veteran player. Yes, it's a loss, Sam, but you know, again, if a coach that you respect and you pay good money to make these types of decisions feels like the next guy in line is going to get the job done. You know, that's the part of the game that sometimes fans aren't necessarily aware of. And nothing, you know, of why would they? They don't see Andre James, you know, in the lab day after day working.
Well, I think what bodes well is like Andre James has had 2 years to prepare, right? It ain't like you're just throwing him in, you know, just undrafted guy that's coming in and is being asked to start day one. No, he's been with the team since 2019. He's had a chance to really develop, really to grow. You see this in. And like to your point, Vinny, you see it in football, you see it in basketball, you know, you see it in all sports all the time. I mean, where guys, have a couple years to kind of get ready, and then an opportunity opens up, whether it be for salary cap reasons like this or for other reasons, and bam, you plug him in and he's ready to go. And having those couple years to get ready, having those couple years where there's not pressure to play, they knew it was kind of a developmental thing, and to really focus on his development. To your point, if they believe he's ready to go, then maybe he's ready to go, and we're going to obviously find out this season. But yeah, it makes sense. You're getting younger on that offensive line. You're able to move money around elsewhere, and you're able to really kind of start this rebuild. And you know, things change. I mean, obviously, the offensive line has been the strength of this team the last few years, even amid the kind of the turnover and the chaos on the other side of the ball. But like you said, Tom Cable's a veteran. He's been doing this a long, long time. And if he's signing off on this move, it must be for a reason. And that reason has to be that Andre James is ready to go.
Please check out our new 7 at 7 newscast weekdays at 7 a.m. and 7 p.m. Get every bit of local news you need in 7 minutes from the Las Vegas Review-Journal.
Absolutely. And I think, you know, between Denzel Good and if Richie Incognito, stays healthy, they're going to be okay at guard.
Yeah, vets that he's right. Surrounded by.
Yes, exactly. There you go. And John Simpson, the rookie from Clemson, I'm sure he's in the lab right now getting ready for his opportunity. So he becomes your third guard as of right now. Obviously, the Raiders got a good look at him last year, and I'm sure they feel like he's on track to be a guy that they can lean on. Move to right tackle. Obviously, there's a hole at right tackle right now, but there's time to address that. And on top of that, there's a really deep draft for tackles this year. So wouldn't be shocked if that's the direction that the Raiders went, in the draft. But again, it's March 19th. There's still plenty of time to get that, rectified before the draft. And so offensive line, obviously it's a concern until those guys go out there and prove it. Then it will be a question mark. But I do know this, the Raiders were getting up there in age on that offensive line, and the money was starting to become age plus that money. Maybe we take that money and spread it out a little bit more to build a more complete roster. And that's kind of what they've done thus far. So we move over to this move caused a big stir, but the Kenyon Drake signing, which looks a whole lot better after looking at the details. And I, this is another reminder, and it's a kind of a pet peeve of mine, and I've learned this covering this game for a while now. Those first initial numbers that you see on Twitter are coming from the agent, and I have nothing against agents. They do a great job. They have a job to do, and it's an important job in their whole world. But I always kind of sit back and laugh at when I see all those numbers being bandied about on Twitter and everyone running at them as if it's gospel. And a general manager told me one time, I go, why don't you set the record straight? When you see that, and they're like, you know what? Here's what we feel. Why? It's all going to come out in the wash anyway. And number two, let the guy have his day. Let the agent have his day. He's trying to build his clientele. He's trying to build his attract other clients, to his agency. The player gets his day in the sun and his big parade and everything like that. We know what it really looks like here, and it's usually not what it looks like out there. So I'm like, okay, but I try to tell fans this, like, and readers, don't freak out on those initial numbers, because it's always going to represent the best possible scenario. You want to look at Kenyon Drake? Let's just put it out there. Okay, he signs a 2-year, $11 million contract, right? With $11 million guaranteed. And up to $14 million. And everyone's like, oh my God, that much for a backup running back? A, he's going to play a lot like a starter. So, don't get into the semantics. But when you get into the weeds of this contract, all right, $8.5 million is guaranteed at the signing. So whenever he signs his contract, his 2021 salary plus 2021 roster bonus, plus 2022 roster bonus are all, you know, guaranteed at signing. But instead of $5.5 million as the yearly salary each year, it's actually $1.25 million with a 1.7 roster bonus. And so it doesn't look so bad. And when you start looking at it along those terms, it's really a one-year deal, because that 2021 salary doesn't guarantee until a year from now. They can make a decision on whether or not they want to do that. And then that 2022 roster bonus of $5.5 million becomes guaranteed and paid on the third day of 2022 next year. So it's not as bad as it looks. And if he plays up to what he's doing, then all good. It's fine. So anyway, just again, a word of warning that it's not all, you know, what it looks like sometimes. So before the armchair general managers start talking about roster construction and money and all that kind of stuff, wait till the details really come out before freaking out.
Well, Kenny Drake's good, Vinny. Like,
I know.
You look at his career yards per carry, 4.5. That's very good for a running back, especially over the course of a career. He had 955 yards and 10 touchdowns last season. I mean, he's been productive everywhere he's been. And listen, they're not going to bring a guy in there. They're not going to go out and get a running back like Kenyon Drake if they don't plan on, like you said, using him and figuring out different ways to use Josh Jacobs and using those guys together and being creative and keeping Josh Jacobs fresh. I think part of this move just feels to me like, you know, Josh Jacobs, it felt like last year he wasn't 100%. He was a little banged up. He was just a step slow, it felt like. And if you can go out and get another back, a bona fide back that's been a lead back. I mean, he was Arizona's lead back in 2020, and he was solid, right? You get a guy that has experience being a lead back, and you pair him with another lead back. Now you have options, and there's, I imagine they're going to do different things with Kenyon Drake in the passing game as well. I mean, he's a guy who caught in 2018, 53 catches for 477 yards. And then in 2019 with both teams, Arizona and Miami, another 50 catches. So he's experienced catching the ball. He can run between the tackles. He's in his prime at 27 years old. Maybe not the first position that comes to mind when you think of need, but it is another player on the offense. It's another a skill position player that has upside that can alleviate some of the pressure of Josh Jacobs and Derek Carr. And they're not bringing him in here unless they have real plans to use him and to feature him at various times.
Yep, absolutely. And I think that the versatility and the creativity that it adds, and I think you're going to see, you know, looking at the tape too, he's more of a home run hitter than than Josh Jacobs is. Josh Jacobs is that grinding, you know, 5, 6, 7, 8 yards, 11 yards, 14 yards. Drake could take it to the house. Saw that on tape. And I think in the red zone, he's going to become an asset, because he can catch the ball. And you can line him up all over the field, in that area. So I really think that red zone factor, is going to come into play. So you know, you have that now offensively, and I think you know John Gruden, he's always going to want to add to the weaponry and tweak it and try to get better, and I think he absolutely did with Kenyon Drake. Now we go to wide receiver John Brown, who, when you look at the numbers and the production, there's no reason why, you know, he obviously slots right into Nelson Aguilar's spot. And in some cases, I mean, he's had better years than, let's just say it, he's had better years, especially that 2019 season when, you know, he was the wide receiver one in Buffalo, comes up with, you know, 70 plus catches, 1,000 plus yards. Obviously, this guy can produce. And I think that as he showed last year when he was healthy and when he was on the field, being part of an ensemble, he's a nice piece on an ensemble. And before I get to your thoughts, this whole notion of the wide receiver one and the wide receiver two, throw that all out. That's like yesterday's football. It doesn't matter who's really Kansas City's wide receiver one. You know, it's a speedy
Travis Kelce.
Yeah, Travis Kelce is probably number one, as Darren Waller would be. I'm saying wide receiver one. You know, he's tight end. Yeah. He's the target number one. You know what I'm saying? So there's ways to that you don't have to put distinctions on these guys anymore as far as wide receiver one. It's who's open, where the ball is supposed to go, that play, utilizing all the weapons on the field, spreading it out and putting a whole bunch of pressure on the defense. And you do that by having a bunch of different guys with different skill sets that could beat you in a number of different ways. And I think John Brown brings something to the table himself.
Well, Vinny, this is one of since he's been in the NFL, so he got in the league in 2014. That's his first year. This guy's been one of the best deep threats in the league since he got in the league, right? Averages 14.8 yards per reception over the course of his career. That's nothing to sneeze at. And like you said, he's only 2 years removed from a 1,000-yard season, and he had a 1,000-yard season in Arizona too. So, yeah, I mean, is he Nelson Aguilar? Not necessarily. I mean, I think Aguilar is a couple years younger. And maybe has a little bit more upside there, but given value and given, like you said, where this offense is right now, where you have an established, and I've said on this podcast several times, I'm going to say it again, Darren Waller is one of the best skill position players, pass catchers in the league, period, regardless of position. There's nothing on the football field, as far as I'm concerned, from a route running, from a ball skills perspective, that he can't do. He can go deep. He can line up anywhere. He can get open. And as long as he's in town, he's going to be the number one option. But I think when you factor in the money and you factor in all the factors that go into bringing in John Brown, given the value, given the upside, given that, yeah, I think he can, for the most part, make up for what Nelson Aguilar brought to the table. And you're still counting on growth from the young receiving core, Henry Ruggs, Bryan Edwards, and even Hunter Renfrow to a degree, who's still a young receiver in his own right, even though he's a little bit older than the other two. So I'm with you. I don't think it's they would have liked to retain Aguilar. There was public praise for him. But at that price point, what he got in New England, it's understandable why the Raiders didn't want to match that. And for, in terms of value, I think Brown is a great replacement who can do a lot of what Nelson Aguilar was able to do last year.
Yep, absolutely. And it looks like the Raiders are restructuring the contract of Carl Nassib. So they're going to pick up another $5 million in this year's for this year's salary cap. You know, if you get into the weeds of Carl Nassib, you know, the sack totals weren't there. But, you know, he did have three sacks. He was up there on quarterback hits and pressures and things like that, or quarterback pressures. There's something there to work with. And I think with Gus Bradley as a defensive coordinator, in year two, he obviously believes that he could get something out of Carl Nassib. Carl Nassib was a candidate to get released, but it looks like he's restructuring his deal, and that'll help the Raiders this year. And he's got a chance now to kind of redeem himself a little bit after last year. So again, that defensive line is pretty deep right now, and there's a lot of bodies and a lot of possibilities and a lot of flexibilities. I think Carl Nassib is going to have a role, next year. Moving forward, again, we keep mentioning cornerback, free safety, and right tackle. I think if you were to look at free agency in the draft, those are the priorities at this point. And so we'll see, you know, where it goes. But Sam, I think that by Monday when we can reconvene, we may have an answer or two for either of those three or any of those three positions. So stay tuned, and we'll be back at it on Monday. Sam, thanks for all the extra effort and doing what you do. Appreciate it. Larry Muir, our great producer, thanks for working overtime with one more this week. I think the fans will appreciate it, and we appreciate you. Thanks, obviously, to Las Vegas Review-Journal and Blue Wire. Catch us Monday again. Enjoy this episode. We appreciate all the support and all the help, and we'll talk to you guys next week.
Look for 7 at 7 local streaming news from the Las Vegas Review-Journal. Find it on your smartphone at the RJ app, or it's available on Roku TV, Fire TV, and Apple TV. Download the app and you're ready to go for 7 at 7.